Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to a brand new series of Fight of My Life with me, Russ Williams, and my regular sparring partner, Spencer Oliver. And over the course of the next hour, we're going to be speaking to a former boxer, a true legend, about his defining fight in his boxing career. The build-up, the story behind it, the aftermath, the whole lot. And on today's show, we're going to be speaking to this man.
And ladies and gentlemen, at this time, for the featured attraction of the evening, the WBC Heavyweight Championship of the World, please welcome, making his way to the ring, the challenger, Britain's Frank Bruno.
I just had to go for it, you know? I have no choice, do or die.
The core, at the moment, he won't come out of his dressing room.
He was trying to intimidate me, but my spirit was there.
That was a good shot again from Bruno.
I'm not very good boxer, I'm just a very, very determined, are very, very strong and work more harder.
People watching this have got butterflies in their stomach. It's almost nerve-wracking here.
Oliver McCall is according to the bull. You cannot get that title out of Tesco, Sainsbury's or Primark.
Thank you all the people staying behind me and, you know what I mean, persevering and sticking with me, man.
I feel $100 million plus VAT.
So there we are, Spencer. Before we hear from true Brit legend Frank Bruno, what fight are we going to be talking about today on the show with Frank? And how do you sum up Frank as a fighter?
Yeah, Russ, we're going to be talking about Frank Bruno versus Oliver McCall in September 1995 at the old Wembley Stadium, the night that Frank finally lifted the world title. It was his fourth attempt at boxing for a world title. He'd previously lost to Tim Witherspoon, Lennox Lewis, Mike Tyson, and this was surely at 33 years of age going to be Frank's last shot at the title, and boy, did he go for it.
Okay, thanks, Spence. I'm delighted to say national hero, former world heavyweight champion, Frank Bruno is with us. Welcome to Fight of My Life, Frank.
Thank you very much. Very, very kind of you, Superman.
Yeah, he thinks, Spence, he thinks I look a little bit like Clark Kent, but that's fine. I'm not going to argue with him. Frank, we're here to talk about your epic fight with Oliver McCall, 2nd of September 1995, the old Wembley Stadium for the WBC World Heavyweight title. You won via unanimous decision. We're going to go through the fight forensically with you later in the show. Let's start at the very beginning. You'd had three world title shots. Do you remember where you were when you found out that the McCall fight was on and you were going to get another world title opportunity?
I was at home when I got the phone call. I think I was having a little bit of difficulty with Mike Barrett, Mickey Duff, and a little bit with Terry Lawless. So I moved from Mickey Duff, Terry Lawless to Frank Warren, you know what I mean? But I knew I was at home when the phone call came to me and he said we got to meet at a hotel in London, Don King himself. But yeah, I was at home at the time when I got the message.
Frank, this was your fourth world title shot. You'd previously lost them three times before to Tim Witherspoon, Mike Tyson, Lennox Lewis. Did you feel, Frank, at 33 years of age, that this was possibly your last shot at a world title?
I knew it was my last shot, Spencer. That's why I went into training camp a little bit more earlier than going there 6 weeks before. I went in there 3 months before. And before that 3 months, I was training, doing karate, the conditioning, sort of like before I went into training camp. Yeah, I did know it was my last saloon. That's why sometimes you go into a fight, your nerves are there, you're not wetting your pants, but you so desperately want to go in there, there's nowhere to go. My mind was set on that night and that fight.
Did you prepare in any different way, Frank, to the other three world title fights that you'd had? I mean, did you change your diet?
Just train a little bit more harder.
Training camp?
Yeah, I did change a little bit. Just train a little bit more harder. Learn how to relax and just focus on the job in hand. Sometimes when people lose, people haven't got they can't build themselves up again. Their confidence go, they get gun shy. And, you know, I mean, it's very difficult to pick up a guy once he's been stopped, either knocked out and come back again to, you know what I mean, box. So I was knocked out by Bulgarian Smith. If I was Chinny, the first punch he would hit me, I would have gone over. But I lost it. I had to dust myself down again and pick myself up, you know. And then I got a chance at the European title. I won that. And Tim Witherspoon, I shouldn't have got in the ring with Tim Witherspoon because he was much more older than me. He was in the early Larry Holmes's days when he fought Larry Holmes, but I had to go in there because me knocking over people made me look more better than I was. Terry was trying to not muddle cuddle me, but build my career up because I didn't have many amateur fights.
Frank, what did you do different in this training camp to other training camps? Who was you sparring and did you go abroad to train? I mean, what was different, Frank, knowing that you said yourself, knowing that it was your last shot?
I used to start at Health Farm, Ashby De La Luce, Springs, Champleys. When I used to stay there, I never lost. But for the Oliver McCall fight, I stayed there. And, you know what I mean, as I said to you before, 6 weeks, you start training. But I started about 3 months before that. And there weren't no secret of what I do more differently. Just worked a little bit more harder and saved my, you know, sometimes you can peak by being very, very manic, like you want to get in there now and you haven't got no patience, but you got to put the training session away and calculate, don't burn yourself out. Make sure when you get nearer to the fight, you peak and feel much more better. But I had a marquee they had for me. People could come in and watch and whatever. It was very, very good. It was very, very nice of the Purdue's to let me, you know, use their place, the training ground.
Frank, you used to train notoriously hard. I used to see you over Hampstead Heath running every morning. I saw you there as a kid, actually, yourself and your trainer, George Francis. Do you think that was the secret to your success, the hard work that you actually put in?
Spencer, I wasn't as you box and you're a very good boxer. I'm not a very good boxer. I'm just a very, very determined and very, very strong. And I work more harder than I am technically in boxing. I didn't have any. I had 21 amateur fights, so I don't pretend to be I'm the most prettiest guy to watch. But all I had was heart, determination and willpower. I didn't have the natural gift like some people have got to go into the ring and know what it's around to. If you get hurt, hold on. I just done the old-fashioned way. Train very, very hard and go in there and have a fight. And some I won, some I lost, but I had a good, interesting career.
This fight, Frank, was billed, wasn't it, as the Empire Strikes Back, Britain against America. Did that title and the way it was billed put any extra pressure on you? Did you feel that you sort of had the weight of the nation on your shoulders for this fight?
I'm dyslexic, so I can cut off certain different things through my life. If someone's talking to me and they're too intelligent, I just go, you know what I mean? I'm dyslexic. So my excuse is I talk to myself and never get above thinking that I'm better than anybody and I can walk on water. I'm just a humble human being and a very, very grateful one at that.
All right, fans, here we go with our main event of the evening. And now, ladies and gentlemen in attendance and boxing fans joining us around the world, it's showtime!
Here we go. Can Frank do it? Here go 12 rounds for the WBC title.
It's Fight of My Life on Talk Sport. Spencer Oliver and me, Russ Williams, and Frank Bruno our special guest on this particular edition of the programme, and his fight against Oliver McCall, Frank's fight of his life, 2nd of September 1995, for the WBC World Heavyweight title. Frank, you know how big a fight this was for your career. It was a fight that you, frankly, you just couldn't afford to lose, could you? Tell us a little bit about the day of the fight. Did you sleep well before the fight? How did you feel when you woke up, if you did sleep well? Were you nervous? Just take us through what you can remember about the day.
I was very, very nervous. I was worried about it because the fight before me, he knocked out Lennox Lewis. I don't know what round it was, with the right hand. So, yes, obviously, I was worried because I've been studying him for years. He came over to England to be my sparring partner once, and he got me. He poked me in the eye with his thumb with a different move, but I knew I was fighting a live wire, you know what I mean? But the day before the fight, when you go into training camp, you exude so much energy, you try and reserve the energy that you got, and I don't have to make weight. That's why I don't understand people like Oliver and Charlie McGray, and you know what I mean, all them guys have to make weight, man. A little bit of fish and a lemon. You have a decent meal before the fight and just keep it on the level, just reserve yourself. Once you're in the zone, you can be anywhere and you're hungry, you're desperate, your last shot of the title. I was on a different level, not disrespecting anybody. I was in the tunnel.
You say it was your last shot of the title. It was actually your fourth shot. You're boxing at the old Wembley Stadium. It was a packed arena. You arrive at Wembley, Frank. You go into the dressing rooms. Talk us through what it was like in that dressing room, the experience when you was getting your hands wrapped. What was going through your head at that point?
You know what I mean? I was hungry, focused, and he was saying some stupid things about me. But I knew he come from Chicago, so he thought he was a bad man. He was a bad man in Chicago because you hear of him getting arrested by 8 policemen. And he gives them a run for the money. But that dressing room is very, very important. When you go in there, have a little bit of music on, relax yourself, stretch, and just you have to do what you have to do. Like, you try and boost yourself up, not too stupidly, for the time for the fight, and may the best man win.
Had you, Frank, played the fight over in your mind, like, because you'd had those previous world title shots and you'd lost, and also lost to, like, James Bonecrusher Smith in the 11th round and Witherspoon in the 11th round. Was that ever on your mind, you know, going in against someone like McCall who, like you said, knocked out Lennox in 2 rounds, looked great in doing that. Then he beat Larry Holmes, another modern day great. And then you get that opportunity. This guy was strong. Did any of that play on your mind as you were getting your hands wrapped?
Sometimes it flashes through your mind, but sometimes you've got to put certain different negativity in the box and shut the drawer up. If I were to think about what Lennox Lewis done to me, you would, you know what I mean? Yeah, sometimes when you lose confidence as well. So I'm a man that you've got to put negativity in the drawer and go in there with positivity rather than being negative. And yeah, there were some negative thoughts in my head at times, and I wondered that how he knocked out Lennox Lewis in the 2 rounds and the way he knocked out Lennox Lewis. So yes, there was a worry here and there. You've got to be positive and be angry, and you know what I mean, he's the bull and I'm supposed to be the guy coming from Great Britain who thinks he's going to walk over me. But I'll give him a run for his money and took his title away.
Before the fight got underway, it was a bit like a movie, Frank. There was a wonderful laser show, and unusually, the national anthems of Great Britain, God Save the Queen, and the Stars and Stripes of America were played before the boxers, you and McCall, had entered the ring. And actually, the British fans booed the American anthem.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the defending champion from the United States, we present his national anthem, the United States of America. To lead us tonight, please welcome the legendary R&B vocalist, Edwin Starr.
Oh, so can you see
why were those anthems played, do you think, before you two fighters got to the ring?
I talked to Frank Warren with that one. He brought out the laser thing, because I think in our day, Spencer Oliver day and my day, they used to play the national anthem, God Save the Queen. But he's gone upmarket, disco, and make it look like a rave now.
Frank Bruno looking to succeed tonight where so many other British heavyweights have failed. His best chance
and surely his last chance.
It was an amazing light show, and there you suddenly appeared, Frank, as you remember, I'm sure, on a platform. And then you started the ring walk, and George Francis, your trainer, was saying something into your ear. What was he saying?
I don't remember. That was extra. You know what I mean? That was such a long time ago, 25 years. I don't know what he was probably saying that. Be positive.
Frank Bruno, National Institution.
As you was coming in, you was sort of moving to the music, you was bouncing, and you know, speaking as an ex-fighter, you know when a fighter's on it and he's switched on. And Frank, that's possibly the most determined I've seen you look in ever. I mean, did you feel that it was going to be your night?
I've trained so hard, I was desperately for it to be my night. I trained, as I said to you, so many months, and yes, nervousness kicks in. But sometimes when you're hungry, you're starving and been kicked down by Bone Crusher Smith, Witherspoon, Lewis and Mike Tyson, I just had to go for it, you know? I didn't have no choice, do or die. And yeah, I was thinking about the consequences, because when he caught Lennox loose, I could just see the punch that he caught Lennox loose, he put him flat out, and I knew that he was a guy with a tough hombre.
Oliver McCall obviously knew, Frank, that you were under a lot of pressure. You know, you had great expectations of yourself and your own ability. He was the reigning world heavyweight champion. He had the belt. You had to try and get it off him. You're in the ring after your ring walk, which was spectacular. Oliver McCall then decides he's going to leave you standing in the ring for a few minutes.
Is this the night of destiny? Now I hear it from backstage. Is best of the night's little dramas that McCall at the moment won't come out of his dressing room, so he's trying to keep Bruno waiting, and that is obviously a psychological ploy, Glenn.
Yes, I'm sure he's trying to win a little bit of the intimidation game here, but I think Frank's enjoying it up there. The crowd certainly are loving this. Brilliant scenes. Frank's nice and loose there, getting into the rhythm of the music.
He would have left me for about 2 hours. I would have still been there pacing up and down and have patience to wait for him. When you've been in boxing so many years, it's all, you know, they're trying any tricks. When you go abroad, that's what, out there, drop it, like try any tricks to, you know what I mean, unwind you or whatever. But in boxing, you just got to let it fly off your head. 15 minutes. I didn't have my watch on me at the time, so I couldn't tell whether it was 15 minutes, whether it was a year. I would have still been in there waiting for him to come out.
He did leave you in that ring, Frank, and it was a packed stadium and everyone was chanting your name. The music was pumping, the lights were going. And when he eventually come out of his dressing room, he come out of the dressing room with Don King, and he come out and he was bawling his eyes out. Not just crying, he was bawling his eyes out with, I don't know if that was emotion or what it was, but it was a very strange entrance.
Look at this, he's in tears again, as he was on his way to the ring before he fought Lennox Lewis. And the reason he said he was in tears is, I was so emotional because I knew that what I was going to do was going to change my life. Is this a bad sign for Bruno that he's that hyped up again?
I'm not sure. I've seen that I've never seen before. I've never seen a fighter that emotional going into the ring. I'm not sure whether, you know, how balanced he will be. You know, he must have psyched himself up into some tremendous frenzy to get like that.
Did you recognise that when he sort of entered the ring?
No, I didn't recognise it at all because my eyes ain't that long, Spencer.
When he came, no, when he actually got in the ring, he was still crying then.
Oh, yeah, I noticed that when he came in there, like he was crying, like he was giving it the tough man. But that's psychology. A fighter like that used that psychology to weaken me, him coming into the ring, and he wants to kill me. Yeah, but not that I mean kill me. He wants to put some damage upon me. Yeah, I see him walking up and down, but I had my eye on him and watching him, but when you've been in the game so long, Spencer, you don't get bullied or I weren't bullied by him at all. I knew his game. He was trying to intimidate me, but my spirit was there, and I was putting up my spirit, determination, and my shield. That's all rubbish. That ghetto crying like you're going to murder somebody is tomfoolery. But it didn't work on me.
Let's get into the fight then, Frank. The biggest fight of your life. Land of Hope and Glory belts out, of course, a very patriotic song.
Set to go, I hope.
We get into round one, and you know, it's a good round for you. You catch him with a big over right, don't you? And you must have thought to yourself, this is pretty good. Did it give you confidence?
In boxing, yeah, when you're fighting a puncher, you can never say round one is finished, it seems okay. You wait until you train, which I did. I trained to be Ander New. That's what I trained for. Round one, round two, around three, he's a dangerous guy. Even the chop, as long as the inch, the little, it says 3 minutes and the fight is over. All that's interesting, I train for, and the new.
You had a great start, Frank. You went out there, stamped your authority, hit him with a good right hand, rocked him in the first. In the second, you started to find your uppercut. You was picking the shots, but McCall showed that durability, didn't he, early on in the fight. You was winning the rounds and winning them big, but he was still pushing forward. You know, how was that phasing you?
Yeah, it was phasing me, but I knew that's his style. That's why I had to be on the back foot. But that was his style. He had a brilliant left hand and he had a good right hand. He was a stayer. But yeah, I had to be strong, focused, and didn't slip up with him because every punch, his jab was hard, his right hand was hard, and all he kept on doing was coming forward.
Round three, Frank. You're having another good round. You're landing uppercuts. But McCall starts coming back in the fourth round and he starts trying to push you on the back foot. At this point, Frank, did you realise you was in for a long night?
Sometimes when you go into the training camp, I'll go into training camp and figure that this guy's got a left hand, was very, very good. That man's got a right hand, was very, very good. But Oliver McCall is called him the bull. You cannot get that title out of Tesco, Sainsbury's or Primark. That is a very, very powerful word to say an atomic bull. When he comes into the ring, he's crying and he wants to do some damage. But unless you're a fighter, don't put up with that nonsense of ghetto, bad boy or whatever. But I had his ticket when he came for bad boy. But I knew when the fight was arranged that I knew that I was in for a hard fight. He's a very, very tough guy and very, very... He's got the power of about six men because I've never been in the ring with a stronger person than him. That's why I think he ran out of the hall before he gave the urine test, if you know what I mean, Harry, allegedly.
Round five, things started to get really physical, didn't they, Frank? Was that a moment maybe where the sheer magnitude of the task ahead of you, trying to get his belt and become world heavyweight champion, dawned on you maybe?
It did dawn on me, but sometimes in life you get more experience as you get more older. And I was trained by... I had good trainers, Jimmy Tibbs, Frank Black, Terry Lawless, but George was a hard, no-nonsense all our training. So he thought out and had the package that he wanted me to do. I put on a little bit more extra weight because if I would have been the same weight as Oliver McCall, he's a very dangerous, doesn't look too smart. He doesn't look too pretty to watch, but he's got a powerful jab and that right hand, he keeps on coming forward. His strength is amazing, but you've got to knock out the negativity, especially when you fight a man like Oliver McCall.
Coming up on Fight of My Life on Talk Sport.
I couldn't watch it because I started crying, but I can't watch it. I never watched the whole fight through and through. I can't watch it, you know what I mean? Because I can't watch the fight, you know? I can't watch it. It was a very, very special night.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Listening to Talk Sport, Fight of My Life. Spencer Oliver and me, Russ Williams, we're in the company of Frank Bruno attempting to become heavyweight champion of the world against the champion then, Oliver McCall, at the old Wembley Stadium. Throughout the whole of the fight, Frank, just before we get back into the next rounds of the fight, the crowd were absolutely amazing. Can you appreciate that in a heavyweight boxing bout?
Nigel Benn and Prince Nazim Mohammed was near the ring. Sometimes you can hear that. But sometimes when you're in a boxer, especially a fight like that, you have to, every bit of concentration is needed with a man of that power and that dangerous. So, yeah, I could hear the crowd here and there, but seriously, ding, ding, from whatever round you do, you can hear the crowd, but sometimes you're so zoomed in, you can't hear nothing. You know what I mean? Yep. Just concentrate on the guy in hand, and they're two hands, and there's dynamite in both of them.
Yeah, round six, Oliver McCall started to push forward, Frank. He probably felt that he was by this time falling behind. You was winning all the rounds. In round seven, Nigel Benn, who boxed on your undercard that night, was like your acting cheerleader. He was virtually in the ring, and he was screaming at you, Frank, don't let him push you back, don't let him push you back.
Screaming.
Was you aware of that at the time?
I was aware that Nigel, I could hear him and sometimes took a leap, but it's easy said than done. When you're in the ring with a man like that, and I weigh more heavy than him, and he's trying to push me back all the time. But I train, that's the way we train. They would try and push me back, but made my legs more stronger. It was a good thing that he was trying to push me back and I was trying to push him back. But he's a dangerous guy, that's all I say.
Frank, round number eight, you were working well behind the jab, and then you switched to a southpaw, which was unusual for you to do that. Was that part of the plan?
It wasn't part of the plan, but sometimes I change that southpaw when I get a little bit tired, and sometimes it confuses people when you turn southpaw. But I was a little bit tired around round eight, so I was just trying to loosen myself up and just not cheat, but just try and get lambs loose and reserve that energy in the tank and don't burn out so quick. But it wasn't a one that I practiced. Yeah, I practice it in the gym sometimes, but that's in the toolbox in case you need it. And it was needed against a guy who wouldn't stop coming forward.
As you said, McCall now pushing forward a lot. He felt like he was falling behind on the scorecards, as he was. You know, you had round nine, McCall was still pushing forward, but you were landing the cleaner shots. Then we get into round 10, Frank, and both of you guys start trading, and now you're starting to bleed from the nose, from the mouth. It would become very physical.
And there's a rising tide of noise now around Wembley Stadium because this crowd sense that Bruno might be close.
do you think at this stage that you was close to victory, or did those previous losses, Frank, when they come, you know, in round 11 against Bone Crusher and in round 11 against Witherspoon, was that starting to creep in your mind at that time as the fatigue was setting in?
I was more interested in the guy which I had in front of me, was a very, very dangerous guy. I ain't got no time to think about Witherspoon, the looks loose or whatever. That was yesterday. I had to think about what was happening today. You can't look at someone else or think of somebody else. When you're in a job and you're fighting, all you can concentrate is the guy in front of you. You can't think about nobody else because they're not wearing red gloves. It's the guy in front of you that's wearing the red glove. I was thinking of Oliver McCall. And it's such a 10th round. It's a very delicate round, 10, because when it goes to 12, then the last couple of rounds can get very, very scary. And when you get tired, you've got to, you know, get fresh and get the breathing right.
Round 11, he catches you with a big uppercut.
Left uppercut was a dangerous punch too from McCall. This is the moment. This is the phase I thought might be coming, where McCall just abandoned caution and let the punches fly.
He was throwing everything and the kitchen sink at you, Frank. He landed a big uppercut, which forced you to hold on. You get through the round. Round 12 comes. And by this time, Frank, you're looking desperately tired and you're looking to just get through the round. And if you get through the round, you've got victory, no doubt about that. But you could you feel the tension in the place? Because, I mean, sitting there and watching it back, I was on the edge of my seat just even watching it. And I knew the result. It was one of those crazy moments that the not just the whole stadium, but the whole country was willing you to win.
It all comes down now to whether Bruno can stay out of trouble for the last round. Remember, he didn't against Bone Crusher Smith in his first ever defeat. Bruno is 3 minutes away from becoming WBC heavyweight champion of the world. I'm sure of that. Have got butterflies in their stomach. It's almost nerve-wracking here. We never thought we'd see him become a world heavyweight champion, but he seems so close now that he can touch it.
Could you feel that in there yourself, Frank?
I was watching it yesterday and I couldn't watch it because I started crying, but I can't watch it. I never watched the whole fight through and through. I can't watch it, you know what I mean? Because I can't watch the fight, you know? Can't watch it. I've watched some rounds and whatever, but I can't believe. It's such a touching sort of thing to watch of all the flags and everything, but it was a very, very special night. I would never can't thank Frank Warren enough to put on a great show. All the people involved, wicked.
Yeah, Frank, we got into the 12th round and we're getting into the last minute, and the commentators at the time, Ian Dark and Glenn McCrory, and you could hear them literally willing the fight down. 1 minute to go. We've got 1 minute. Can Frank make it through the last minute? Now we're down to 45 seconds.
Rob Fitzsimmons did it. Lennox Lewis did it. Herbie Hyde won the WBO version for Britain. Is Frank Bruno going to join that very, very short list? He has, what is it, 40 seconds to survive.
It was just an incredible, incredible moment. The final bell goes. We come to the end of the fight. And I think everybody in the stadium at this time recognised that you won. The first question I was going to ask, did you feel that you'd won at that point? And the second question was that everyone piled into the ring. And it was like something out of a movie.
When you're dealing with Don King, you know what I mean? I didn't know if I'd won. So I had to wait with patiently and the new. That's all we needed to hear. Because we were training of that, and the new, that's what we're training for motivation in the training camp. But as soon as the man said, and the new, I said, oh my God, 40 years of trying to, you know, I mean, do well in boxing, you know, there's a wicked achievement. I only was the WBC champion for about 5 minutes, but I'm on history, that's what I'm happy about.
Ladies and gentlemen, after 12 rounds of boxing, we have a unanimous decision. Here are the score totals. Judge at ringside, Malcolm Bolner, scores it 115 to 113. Judges at ringside, Newton Campos and Rai Solis, both score the bout at 117 to 111. All three in favor of the winner and new WBC.
Bruno is the champion!
Bruno!
see, I was a troublesome youngster and I used to hang around with the wrong sort of like crowd. My mum tried to educate me into say, you got to not move around with these sort of like people. I was dyslexic, so I suffered in different ways. I got sent to a boarding school and I ironed out all the creases, because when I left the boarding school, I tried a few jobs here and there and I went straight into boxing. Sometimes in life, you know, we have dreams. We have plans that we want to do. Sometimes that plan goes out the door. My plan was done from when I was 12. My dad bought me my first pair of boxing gloves. I didn't know nothing about boxing. My main aim in life was to be like the Black Bruce Lee, like we used to watch kung fu movies or whatever. But when I left school, I was dyslexic. So my best thing I could do is get involved in boxing to try and make some decent money. My friends, they were rubbing and doing all different things, but I couldn't understand it. So I had to change on a different level and just concentrate on the boxing and just focus on what I had to do, because I didn't want to get involved in have a criminal record or whatever, but it can be done.
King, and I thank him. I thank George, I thank Keith, I thank my brother, I thank John Bloomfield, I thank Ruber, I thank Springs, I thank Lanzarote, I thank everybody that's watching the television, and I thank my wife, I thank my mum, I thank everybody for taking the opportunity of standing behind me. And it was tough in there, but I done it, you know.
You're very emotional now, and you should be emotional. Can you put into words, I know it's a difficult time for you, Frank, but what this means to you, because you must have thought this would never happen.
If I won the £10 million lottery today, it wouldn't mean as much as this to me, because I've got my son and I've got the belt, you know. I'm just grateful. It hasn't really sunk in.
Very good to have you with us. You're listening to Talk Sport. Frank Bruno on Fight of My Life. His fight in 1995, and it was epic in more ways than one, and Frank became WBC World Heavyweight title holder after wrestling that title from a difficult customer, as we've heard already with Frank, Oliver McCall. He was the champ. Frank Bruno was now the champ. And after this McCall fight, you faced Mike Tyson, didn't you? And you lost in the third round in Vegas. I was there working and supporting you. It, like thousands of others and millions watching on television, Frank, it proved to be your very last fight. How do you know as a boxer that it's the right time to hang up the gloves?
I don't know. Sometimes at the time of that fight, you know, I was going through a marriage difficulty, not looking for no excuses. Sometimes when you've been away from a boxer and you come home, being away, like if you're in the army and you come home, the kids and your wife want you to go away, rather than, you know what I mean, stay at home. I went through the marriage breakup. It wasn't the most nicest thing to go through, but the pressure I had on it was unbelievable. But I ain't looking for no sympathy. You have good and bad days. You have good times in life where you split up from a partner. Some people can take it, some people don't take it. But, yeah, been sectioned a couple of times, but I'm all right now at the moment.
Yeah, Frank, you lost that fight and your title to Mike Tyson. You've decided to hang up your gloves. And more recently, actually, you've just been out to visit Mike Tyson, haven't you? Tell us a little bit about that. And are you friends now?
Well, how can you be friends with someone trying to knock you or kill you? You know what I mean? How can you be friends? Yeah, I went over there. He was very, very, very nice and very, very down to earth and very, very calm. He didn't have the entourage around him, so he seemed much more better than having all yes men around him. He just had his PA and a lady PA as well, and he just kept it on the level. He was very, very the best I've ever seen him. I think he's into Bob Marley though. You know what I mean?
I think you would take him now, Frank.
Yeah, I tell you, I saw him now, and he's coming back. Holyfield is coming back. This one wants to come back or whatever. I said, just don't rule me out. You know, you're not allowed back in England, but we can do something in Ireland. I'll put my ticket in, Spencer.
Yeah, absolutely, Frank. Absolutely. Listen, 7 years after the fight, 2002, you lost your late great trainer, George Francis, who committed suicide. How did that affect you, Frank? I know personally how close you and George were, because I saw you as a young kid growing, as we trained over Hampstead Heath every morning, 6 a.m. I know he was like a father figure to you. How did that affect you personally?
It affects me in a big, big way, because George was trained and he had a tough man and mentality. And it really cracked me up. It really hurt, because we used to go for walks together, go down to the training camp together. But he lost his son, lost his poor wife, Joan. And I think that must have got to him much more than... I felt sorry for him, and I feel for him, and I miss him so much. He's a nice man.
Did you ever sense that anything was wrong with George? Because I remember at the time when it had happened, like, it was something that was totally out of the blue, like, it was totally unexpected. Did you ever sense that there was a problem?
Afterwards, I see there was a problem, because, you know, I mean, sometimes you look at people, and when someone loses a loved one, and you lost two loved ones, and when someone, they were close, and school heart, love, you know, I mean, sweethearts and all that business, it weren't nice to go through. When his son rang me, I just broke out and crying, dropped the phone, because that was the last person I would have thought would have committed, because he had a hard, tough mentality, like, in the ring, and he was old school, and he didn't mess around, you know what I mean? But, boy, it hurt, you know what I mean? Just even talking about it hurts.
It's almost as if you've had a tougher time since you stopped boxing than you ever had in the ring. Obviously, that was a tragedy with George Francis, Frank. You touched on it a few minutes ago. You were sectioned twice. I'm going to ask you, obviously, how you are now, but what do you remember about the start of your well-documented mental health problems? Was what happened to George anything to do with it, or the breakup of your marriage?
What happened to me. I remember everything that happened to me. If you want to ask me a question about mental health, being even the police coming to my house, having the police come to the house, having doctors and so-called medication, rubbish people coming to my house. But yeah, I remember everything, but that's the way life goes sometimes. I'm still here now. And the strangest thing about it, your so-called friends will try and stab you in the back. The more closer people are to you, they're the sort of people you've got to watch, because they're two-faced. But I hold my hands up and I take it like that. Yes, I have been sectioned.
How do you feel now?
I feel fine. Very, very glad that I've seen Spencer's face. I'm very, very glad you asked me to go on the show, but I feel $100 million plus VAT.
Yeah, Frank, you look great, mate. And, you know, what are you up to now, Frank? What's the general day for Frank Bruno at the moment?
I've got a boxing gym that I'm trying to get involved with, which I'm involved with, and it's nearly opening. We're just waiting to see what Boris will let us go and visit him and whatever. I'm just trying to keep happy. I've got myself a good PA in Paul Hunter, who used to be with UB40. I've got a good team around me now, Spencer, and I'm very, very happy. The pressure's taking off. All I've got to do is get up in the morning, go for a train, which I've got all the equipment at home. I've got a steamer at home. I've got a hot tub. And I love training. I've got 3 punch bags in the garden. And, yeah, I can't really grumble. I mean, I'm very, very chosen. I'm very, very grateful for everything that I've ever got given to me and worked hard for. You know what I mean? I'm in a good spot at the moment. Very good.
I can feel maybe a bit of Frank Bruno ducking and diving coming on now. You probably won't like this question, but I'm going to ask you. Frank, did boxing make you rich?
Did boxing make me rich? Oh, yeah, of course boxing made me rich. Yeah, I mean, I would have been still a metal polisher or trying to be a carpenter. But boxing, yes, has made me rich. Not only in the pocket, but made me rich in the mind of dealing with a lot of people. And there is good and bad in everybody that you do, but there is some nice people in the boxing fraternity that will be brothers, no matter what colour you are, what religion you are. People bond together, and it's a nice crowd. People might think that we're gangsters or whatever. We're far from gangsters. We are nice people, boxers. You don't know what you got. It takes to go into the ring and to have balls to go and fight somebody in a different country, and you'd be a warrior. So I understand and I respect every single boxer, whether it's the amateur, whether it's a professional, whether he used to box years, 50 years ago, 60 years ago, or whatever. You respect anybody. I do anyway.
I want to thank you, mate, for giving us so many memorable nights, you know, as a kid growing up, watching you go through your career right up to that night in September 1995 when you won that world title. Training alongside you over Hampstead Heath in the mornings was an absolute pleasure as well, mate. I've got to say, you are a true inspiration to not just me, to millions of other kids across the world. For you said it yourself, you know, where you lacked in talent, you made up for in hard work, dedication, and that shone through that night when you won that world title, mate. So I want to thank you for that. But what I'd like to ask you, Frank, was if you could change anything that you've done in your career, what would it be and why?
Sometimes when you say, you know what I mean, Harry, people think that you're thick. I don't pretend to be clever, but I'm borderline not thick. I'm not I mean borderline. When somebody takes the out of you for saying, you know what I mean, Harry. I didn't mean to say, you know what I mean, Harry. I said it naturally to Harry when I nearly got knocked out by Jumbo Cummings. But if you see Jumbo Cummings fight, you'll understand where the link between me and Harry became. But apart from that, I wouldn't change nothing at all. Because if I change anything, I wouldn't be here now. I'll be the security guard outside waiting for you to come. You treat us like a clap around here or something like that. But I'm happy. I haven't got no O levels or A levels. It's just raw. And I used to go down to George's gym years ago when Bose Edwards was there. Probably your dad was there as well. Yeah. Borderline training. And that was a tough gym. And I used to get battered by Lottie Mawali and bunk the train back and come down there the next day to go and get battered again. But I was learning my trade. And I think boxers are good people. Everything about boxing, they're good, you know?
Frank Bruno, it's been a pleasure having you on Fight of My Life. You're a British boxing legend, a world boxing legend, a world champion, and a world champion human being as well. And myself, Russ Williams, and your friend Spencer Oliver have absolutely loved having you on this edition of the show.
Thank you very much. Cheers. Very kind of you, sir. Thank you.
Frank Bruno on Fight of My Life. Keep listening. Plenty more Fight of My Life's on the way. Right here on Talk Sport from Spencer and myself. It's goodbye for now. And Frank as well.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.